After the ER. To cut this part short, I did not improve. We had these cool hand-blown cobalt-rimmed glasses currently in the attic for my son when he moves into his first rental in a month. It's now a year and a half later, and he has those glasses. They held about 24 ounces. That's two cans of pop. I could pound the whole glass of water in 2 or 3 seconds. I had not eaten one solid meal in maybe 2 weeks, except that one. Anything had burned, only water had helped. But it had been quite a while, and my stomach wasn't hurting anymore, I noticed. That meal with Mom and OKC wasn't even painful. Now the cold water was more so that I could focus. Meanwhile, this whole inability to go once I drank too much was concerning, and I was kind of manic. And I'm here, I'm going to make another aside and say that whole inability to go thing, it continued. It came back. So I started being able to go once I ate, but then without much food, I wouldn't be able to go. So finally, I decided to eat something and make the trek back to Norman to try and get this figured out. You know, Grandma. At the time, I didn't realize this was an adrenal issue, just something else was in my system besides me. So what did I decide to eat as my first solid meal in days? Some Oreos and orange juice. This was my thinking. I decided my system needed calories, so that meant sugar. And it needed electrolytes, for which I chose, this is how my brain works, orange juice with calcium. That had to help, right? I needed electrolytes, so I ate some Oreos, drank some orange juice, and jumped in my car. I had this kick-ass Alpine system in my Accord, N-CD changer, which I had spent a couple of grand on in 1992. Let's not dwell on what that is in today's dollars. HODL. Back to Norman. So now I'm driving down the turnpike. Before I got to the first McDonald's, there are two, or there were, my stomach is teaching me that if you don't eat for a long time, it is best to eat only a small helping. Your intestines kind of go to sleep when you don't eat for long enough, and when you wake them up, they are grouchy. I have 30 years of experience with a variety of pains and aches and cramps and burning sensations from this condition. These cramps were at least top three. I thought I might pass out. It hurt enough that I seriously considered just driving into a fence and waiting for an ambulance. As it turns out, due to the change in blood flow, passing out is virtually impossible for me, so bump your estimate of the pain up. I would bet anyone else would have passed out. Some things like that I can't explain for a while, so deal with it. I had to stop a couple times at those McDonald's. That intestinal awakening is not just painful, but gross. See how I spared you a little detail there? Eventually, I made it to my mom's house. I remember trying to explain everything to her. I was definitely manic at this point. The continuous drinking of water and electrolyte issues were wreaking havoc on my mental state. I could think, but the thoughts and words came at several times the normal speed. I actually believe that this was, in part, my brain adjusting to all the other changes. It was changing, too, recalibrating for new operating conditions. Mom had a nurse friend come over and talk to me and take my blood pressure. My BP was sky high. She told my mom that I was probably having some sort of mental break. I remember I would just sit on my bed, leaning against the wall, waiting. For what, I didn't know, but I didn't feel like I could fit in. I'm sure talking to me was interesting. My brain was moving so fast that my speech probably sounded like someone playing an old LP at 45 RPM instead of 33 and a third. Eventually, Mom made me sit down in a recliner and sit still. She brought me a TV tray with a chunky beef and vegetable stew and a real Coke. I had stopped drinking sugar and caffeine as soon as the stomach issues started, so this was something I hadn't had in months. I figured it really couldn't make things worse, right? I'm going to be saying a lot of that in my life. If I ever get it all down, sometime you'll get lucky with this approach. So, I ate the soup and drank the sugared Coke. Here, I once again warn you that you cannot understand my story without also hearing some things that you are currently thinking you don't need to know. Over the next hour or two, I probably peed 2 gallons, like that. I know what you are thinking. That's hyperbole. I didn't do that. I don't exaggerate. Political note, I detest most politicians because they frequently speak in hyperbole and often do so trying to lend credence to a blatantly false point. This condition has more than one time in it when some similar but different, or maybe even the same, polyuria is central to it. So, I trust my instincts here. It was at least 10 trips to the toilet in a few hours with a flow rate that would make a racehorse proud. Okay, that was hyperbole, but my point remains, it was a tremendous amount. The 10 trips part is true, and it was urgent every time. I just don't know that I could ever make a racehorse proud. Afterwards, I sat in the chair. I felt completely relaxed and calm, as if I was becoming part of the chair. My heart still beat so hard I could feel it, but it was slow, and I was not tense. I thought I was probably about to die. I had just peed more than any human should be able to do from just drinking one Coke, and it seemed almost logical that death was coming for me. I thought I might die right in that chair. If I had, we wouldn't ever get to the weird stuff. I'm taking you there bit by bit, but we are really just getting started. No, I survived, but things didn't get better. I clearly remember taking a walk to a nearby convenience store while thinking, everyone can tell that I'm totally freaking out. They will all stare. No one noticed. At the store, I bought some sugar-free fruit drink mix. Now bear with me for a second. I could have opted for Gatorade, but I couldn't hide that bottle. My thinking was that the electrolytes in the soup and the caffeine potentially helped me, so I would drink a packet straight. I chose fruit punch for whatever reason, and I'd see if the packet helped. In short, it did not. So Mom and I talked it over and decided to go to Tulsa and take me to the random mental hospital. I just remembered something funny about that ride. I rode with the top of my head on the air conditioning vent. Why? It felt like my head had a little fountain in it, a fountain spewing out. I figured I had somehow blown my brain. It almost felt like sparks, but dull. Anyway, bank that one. Here's where the medical system really failed me. We arrived at the ER in Tulsa in the middle of the night. It was practically empty. No chaos, no rush. They had staff, they had time, and yet no one ran a single test. No blood work, no electrolyte panel, no effort to understand what might be going on inside me before sending me off to a psychiatric intake. I was clearly distressed, physically and mentally, but they didn't even do the basics, just waved me through like a package to be routed. That moment stuck with me. Because if they had done one simple blood test, they might have caught it. They might have seen a sodium-potassium imbalance or at least paused to ask the right questions, but they didn't. And that was a failure, not just of protocol, but of curiosity.